We're in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to be talking a little bit on these Wednesday evenings about the armor of God. Here's why. I was just kind of praying about this class and asking the Lord to kind of direct my thoughts on what topic or what to talk about, just random topics. I didn't get any leadership from the Lord to just do a random topic. And the words that came to my mind, I trust they were, I was led of the Lord. I trust they came from the Spirit of God because I was, you know, praying and waiting on Him to help me. Were the three words, the evil day. The evil day, okay? You find those words in this passage, and we'll get to that in just a little while. I thought to myself, you know, the truth of the matter is, this is no doubt an evil day. Sure. It's just an evil day. Fellas, I've tried to be careful not to be too redundant about that in the services. You know, I don't tell my wife everything that I hear, and I'm sure many of you are the same way. You know, the Bible calls them the weaker vessel for a reason, and it's not because of their character. Part of the truth is, most of our wives have got more character than we do. They're better Christians than we are, and in many cases. And so, but it's just emotionally, physically, they're weaker. They're the weaker vessel. Okay, and but this stuff going on in our country has me. I'm not afraid, but I'm alarmed. I'm alarmed. We've had riots before. We've never had a group of people take over a portion of a downtown city.
Amen.
And the city agreed to put barriers up. That's what happens when you go with a woman mayor and a woman chief of police.
Amen.
That's what you got.
That's right.
You don't negotiate with those fools. That's ridiculous.
Amen.
The city of Seattle negotiated. I'm surprised there hasn't been some kind of armed militia in Washington State go down there and take that back, to be honest with you. I heard today that Antifa has applied for a permit in Lincoln, Illinois, to have a peaceful protest down there. If this happens in Seattle, you're pretty naive to think that it's not going to spread.
That's right.
Right. It's going to spread. This is an unprecedented day. I don't care what anybody says. It's an evil, evil, evil day.
Right.
And, you know, it's amazing to me. People lost their loved ones during COVID lockdown. Couldn't have a funeral. George Floyd could have three.
Yeah, right.
With no restrictions.
Yeah.
And this Black Lives Matter is not about black people at all.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I told them today they're going to do away with Uncle Ben Rice. Yeah. How is that going to help the black community?
Yeah.
To do away with Angela?
Yeah.
How's it going to help?
Yeah.
It's all image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no substance to it. None. So, and I could go on and on. I could spend the next 32 minutes ranting. Okay? I'm sure you could too. Okay? If not, I question whether or not you're an American man.
Yeah.
There ought to be something bottled up inside of you right now.
Yeah.
I don't mean fearful. I don't mean, you know, going to take your weapon and go take care of business. I don't mean that, but it ain't good.
Right.
It ain't good. So, this is an evil day. Because it is an evil day, there's no doubt that there is a need for all of us concerning the armor of God. The armor of God is for the evil day. Okay?
Right.
And so this is kind of an introductory lesson into this, what I'm going to be talking about over the next several weeks. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a help. Now, we learned from the scriptures that when we get saved, we are enlisted as a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are scriptures in the New Testament that substantiate that. We're in one right now where Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. It's usually soldiers that wear armor, right? Get over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talked about the weapons of our warfare. Okay, so we're talking about being in a fight. You say, I don't like to fight. It's never going to matter if we like to fight or not. Fellas, the time is coming, but we're going to have to fight. Have to, okay? And so there are many scriptures that inform us that we are in a fight. And in our fight, we encounter an enemy. That's obvious, okay? And the purpose of the armor is to withstand, and is found actually in verse number 11. Look at what Paul said here. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So there is the purpose for the armor of God, that you and I might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, Satan would love to cause every Christian to fall. I think that's a good one, huh? And in his infinite wisdom, God has provided the offensive weapons and the defensive armor necessary to keep us from falling. I'll tell you something. A fallen child of God is potentially a real discouragement to other people. Come on in, fellas, get you a seat. Come on in, get a seat there. And we get chairs there. Okay. It is potentially a discouragement to other Christians. Let me read you just a passage, just a part of a verse from Zechariah chapter 11 and verse number 2. This is what Zechariah preached. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. So the fir tree is supposed to howl because the cedar is fallen. Now, the cedar is the bigger tree. And if the cedars do not stand, the fir tree doesn't have a chance. Everybody in this room is a cedar tree to somebody. You men that are married are cedar trees to your wife. You and your wife have children, you're a cedar tree to your children. Somebody, there's some fir tree who is looking at you. That's true about everybody. Okay? When the cedar tree falls, the fir trees get discouraged. I don't know how many times this has happened in the 30 years of knocking doors in this area, where I've knocked on the door, called, you know, just broke the ice with somebody, getting to church related, you know, issues, hey, I'd like to invite you to the service. And it works away, they work their way around to, they used to go to church, used to be involved, but something happened. A pastor did this, a youth pastor did this, a Sunday school teacher did this. They're out of church because the cedar tree fell. I'm not justifying it. There's no excuse. But that's what happened.
Yes.
The cedar tree fell. And because the cedar tree fell, the fir fell as well. So any Christian who falls is going to have some fir tree in their wake. That's going to be influenced in some way or another. Now, we know that the strength of a Christian is not found in our own might. It's not in us. Our strength is found in God. Surely we know
right.
that by now. Okay? Surely we know that by now. Verse number 10 tells us, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God's might. Okay? So I'm going to stand. This is the evil day. And I need to stand. And here, God's given me the armor, okay, so I can stand against the wiles of the devil. I need to understand that my strength is found in the might of God. God's might is found in God's armor. That's where we get our might. We get our might from the armor of God. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. Verse number 11, okay? Doesn't say part of it. It says all, put on the whole armor. Why would God design a piece of armor for His people and then, you know, say, well, it's optional. Take it or leave it. God didn't do that.
Right.
He designed an armor to give His men strength to stand against the wiles of the devil. And God said, look, here I've created it. Put on the whole armor of God. I've said it before. Never served in the military. But if I was to serve in the military and I was going into combat, and they said, here is the uniform room and all the things that you can wear to protect yourself, I think I would grab one of everything. I don't know what they're for. I don't know how to use them, but I would take one of everything, okay? And I look like one of those ninja guys, right? Who goes out to battle. Okay. I think that's what I would do. I would want everything the army has created to keep me safe. Why would I not want the same as a child of God?
Amen.
Okay? So he says, put on the whole armor of God. His armor provides His might. Every piece is needed for us to be successful in the fight, in the battle. And it's a spiritual battle, so it requires armor that is spiritual in nature. There's no steel here, there's no fiberglass, there's no, you know, Kevlar in the verses that talk about. This is all spiritual in nature, okay? Because we're in a spiritual battle. And how foolish for mere mortal people to ignore the weapons and the protection that an immortal God has provided for us. We're mortal. Okay? But we got this immortal God who loves us and has designed this armor for us to keep us safe. How foolish not to take advantage of it. You know, the Bible, God's done some wonderful things for us, fellas. This, beyond saving us. That was the most wonderful. But beyond saving us, no, not only are we not ignorant of Satan's devices. Think about that. You know, in football, there's an offensive playbook and there's a defensive playbook, right? So what if, you know, what if the Bears are going to play the Falcons on Sunday and somebody walks in and hands Coach Nagy the playbook, the offensive playbook and the defensive playbook for the Atlanta Falcons, says, here's all their plays. Would he be at an advantage? Would he be at an advantage? Sure he would. Okay. Well, the Bible tells us that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices.
Amen.
We have the devil's playbook.
Amen.
It's found in certain passages in the Scripture. We're not ignorant of how he operates, okay? We have the armor to help us in the battle. So we're not ignorant of his devices. We have the armor now to help us fight him. All right, so let's look at verse number 11 with me. And notice the very last phrase of verse number 11. Paul says there that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Anybody want to take a stab at what the word wiles means? A synonym. Cunning. Brian.
Schemes.
Schemes, that's a good one. Somebody else?
Trickers.
Trickery.
Cunning.
Somebody else?
Cunning.
Cunning. Trickery. Cunning. Scheme. Craft. Craft. Isn't that interesting? We have rich craft.
Yeah.
Crafty. Okay. So the word wiles means, okay? And here's why. Here's the way we're going to talk about the wiles of the devil. The devil cannot come against us as he is. His nature is so vile, so wicked, so filthy, that if he came against us as he is, we would never be seduced.
Yeah, that's right.
We'd never be tricked.
That's right.
We'd see him coming miles away.
Yep.
We'd know it. That's why, our preachers preach this for years, that's why they can't put the real picture of alcohol on the billboard. They can't put the picture of the woman with her black eye and her busted lips and the body laying dead in the street or dead in the car because the drunk hit him head on. Right. And boy, man, look, don't pass up teaching moments. Don't pass up teaching moments with your kids, right. Even your grandkids. Was it Monday night? That was Monday night. The mowers came, finally. Man, I think the grass in the ditches had to be 4 feet. And the mowers came Monday, and they mowed the grass out there. And when they did, they exposed some trash that was adjacent to my lot there. And so Carson was with me. And Brady, we walk out to them. They like to go close to the road. They can't go in the road, but they like to go close to the road. And they can go close to the road with Papa or Dad or Brady, you know. So I took it right there. And here, and right at the edge of my, people throw stuff. People are trashy.
Yes, they are.
I find beer bottles. If you ever come to my house and empty one of my trash cans, I'm not drinking. Tonight, I found a Budweiser bottle, a Bud Light bottle, I found a vodka bottle in my ditch.
Anything like that?
Well, you know, no. I usually throw it across the road. Well, I put it left side of the road. Once in a while, you know, I hate putting my trash can, I really do. So, the little boy's with me, Carson there, he's six, and I picked up that vodka bottle, chunked it. And then I just stopped. I just wanted to see, you know what this is? So this is out there, but I just went off. I'm not screaming at him, preaching to him. I'm just talking to him. So, you know, your dad had a friend years and years ago traveling through Kansas with his family, going to visit folks at Christmas time. Drunk car weaving behind him, went around him, weaving in front of him. This is before cell phones. And that guy watched as that car weaved and hit a car head on, killed a woman. And that guy's car, you know, he got out of his car. What happened? Ed Owen. And Brian's not here. Brian knows Ed Owen. And Ed Owen had stopped. I won't describe it. But the woman was killed. I won't describe it. Daughter screaming in the car. Blood everywhere. And the drunk guy, what? And Ed said, I'll tell you what happened. He just wheeled and did it. I just knocked him out. You killed the woman. I just knocked him out. I told Carson that story. He said, okay, Monday night. He can't put that on the billboard. They'll never sell a bottle of beer. Okay? So, and I can go on and on with that, but you get the picture. So Satan can't come at us as he is because he's so vile, he's so wicked, he's so filthy. We see him coming a mile away. But Satan is the master of trickery.
Yes, he is.
He's the master of deception. And that's what Paul says. The wiles of the devil. He's good at it. Okay? You know, Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was talking about false prophets. And he said this, they are deceitful workers. Listen to this. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So there were men in the first century A.D. while Paul was starting churches. They were false prophets, false teachers, but they were so slick. And the way they presented themselves, some people mistook them for the apostles of Christ. In the next verse, he says, and no marvel, it's no wonder, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I wish I could wrap my mind around everything that teaches. But I know it teaches one thing, he's the master of deception.
Right.
He's the master of trickery. He's the master of wiles. W-I-L-E-S. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're right here. Look at verse number 14, okay? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14. He says here, I'll read that, we henceforth, being no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In fact, to mark your Bible, that lie in wait to deceive is a good description of the word wiles. It's almost the full meaning of the word wiles. It's that which is traced out with method. In fact, I don't do a lot of Greek, but the Greek word for wiles is methodia. Method.
Yes.
Okay? So it's that which is traced out, laid out with method. That which is methodized. And that which is well laid out and well planned. In other words, the wiles of the devil would be that which is carefully and methodically laid out, watch this, with the prey in mind. With the prey, P-R-E-Y, in mind. Now, howl fir tree for the cedar is falling. I'm looking at cedars tonight. I'm looking at cedars. Men are leaders. Men are leaders in their marriages. Men are leaders in their homes. Men are leaders in their work, in the workplace. That's what we are. That's what God made us to be. To some degree, influential. Okay? Everybody in this room influences somebody. Okay? So who is the cedar tree? It's me and you. And who is the devil laying the trap for? The well thought out, carefully, methodically laid out, deceptive trap with the prey in mind. And that's what I'm going to be teaching on these pieces of armor. I'm going to be talking about them specifically from the vantage point of what they mean for men. What they mean for men. Okay? And that's exactly so, that with the prey in mind. By the way, let me just remind us tonight that this wily one, this crafty one, is the same one that Michael the archangel would not engage with in warfare. Over the body of Moses, Jude, verse 9, again, something I haven't yet wrapped my mind completely around. But I just know this, Michael would not engage Lucifer, Satan, in warfare. He turned him over to the Lord. He said, the Lord rebuke you. What that tells me, Michael didn't have the wherewithal to dispatch him. Only God does. Okay? Not did, does. Okay. Not past tense. So, this is the one who's so deceptive, that somebody thinks they are right when they indeed are wrong. That's deception. Deception is presented many times. Deception is not knowing we're doing wrong and doing it anyway. Deception is when we think we're doing right, but then we're doing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got this predator. You got this predator. He's got this carefully laid out, well laid, methodically laid out trap with the prey in mind. I read one time where one of the most deceptive animals in the wild are wolves. Wolves, they said, use trickery in capturing their prey. Now, whenever I see a documentary on wolves, they're always hauling across the country, pulling down the calves and the sick and so forth. But this author said, if it's written, it's got to be true, right? But he said, and I can see this, that wolves, he's observed wolves pretending to fight and play among themselves, all in their pack, all the while moving, inching closer to a young calf or horse that's grazing nearby. And normally that young calf or horse would flee at the sight of a wolf. But the play, the deception, makes that little animal careless. And before you know it, the wolf is close enough that he can move in for the kill. And the tool is deception. I heard John Getz years ago when I was out in Iowa. You know, there are some things that just literally don't leave your mind. Think about all you see. This took place probably back in 1982 or 83. And I still remember. Think about how many things you've seen and heard since 83 that you've forgotten. But he told a story in his message to the teenagers. We had a combined youth activity with the church that Emily McDonald was from. And he told about how they kill a wolf. The Eskimos, how they'll kill a wolf. They'll take a knife. And they'll dip it in rabbit blood. Dip it in rabbit blood, let it freeze. Dip it in rabbit blood, let it freeze. Dip it in rabbit blood, let it freeze. Double-edged knife. Keep that till it builds. It has a huge coat of dry rabbit's blood. And then they'll take the haft of that knife and stick it into the ice and secure it. And that wolf will smell that blood and will come and begin to lick. And the taste of blood just puts him in a frenzy. And the more he licks, the more that blood goes, and pretty soon the blood he's tasting is not the rabbit's blood, it's his own blood. They'll bleed to death right there. Wow. What was used to kill the wolf? The wolf uses deception to kill the little calf, the horse. They use deception to kill the wolf. Okay? So it's very interesting. Deception is the tool that every hunter uses when he is after the prey. You got a goose hunter back here. You got deception. Decoys. You got places that you got camo that you wear. There's certain deception that a goose hunter has to use if he's going to kill geese. Same with deer. You got some deer hunters in here. There's deception. That buck's traveling through the woods, got things on his mind, and too far out to shoot with an arrow. Burr. It's a deception.
Yep.
Pull him right in. Take those rattling antlers to the tree. I won't forget hunting in Iowa one time. I hit those antlers, a big buck busted out of the finger. I was hunting a draw. He busted out of the finger across the field, the point of the finger, came flying over him. I mean, just poof. It was all deception. It was all deception. That guy said, hunt turkey. Ben killed turkey. The last time he was home on his furlough. There's deception used. Now all those calls, it's all deception. In Iowa, I've told you before, I learned to trap fur-bearing animals when I was out in Iowa, primarily coon, sometimes muskrat. That was back in the early 80s when it was a profitable endeavor. I mean, you know, I caught 34 muskrats out of one pond and probably made $3.50 per rat. And coons would sell for 30 bucks. And Jeff Stats and his brother were making $8,000 a winter. That was back in early 1980s. Trapping fur, and Jim taught me how to trap. Trapping is all deception. Mm-hmm. It's all deception. The trap has to be disguised. You don't set the trap on a neon sign saying this way. You know, this way. And okay, you dig that hole in the bank of the creek, and you can stick a marshmallow back in there or anything shiny, a little piece of the side of a fish that has a shine to it. Stick it back in that hole. Put your trap at the entrance to that little hole you dug out and camouflage it. Sometimes it's as simple as as a leaf over the pan. Whew. Those coons are smart. I've come many times down the trap, flipped upside down. I've just flipped the trap upside down. It's all deception. The deception is carefully and methodically planned. Listen, with the prey in mind. I would not set a trap for a goose. Okay? I wouldn't use a condom to try to kill a buck. Okay? Tim wouldn't use duck decoys to try to trap a raccoon. That ain't going to happen. You lay it out methodically, well laid, in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So that's how it's all done. It's done methodically and well laid out. Now, fellas, I'm just trying to, in my introductory lesson tonight, I'm just trying to give you a heads up. This is why we need the armor of God. We need the armor of God because we have a cunning crafter for our enemy.
Right.
We have a trickster. We have a deceiver. If we're going to stand in the power of God, we're going to have to put on the armor of God in order that we might stand and not fall. We also see, it's verse number 13. Okay, look at verse chapter 6, back to verse number 13 again, all right? Wherefore, take unto you again the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And you look back up at verse number 12. And this is not new material. Okay, you're not a novice when it comes to this passage. Okay? You look at that. You look at the words that the Holy Spirit of God gave the Apostle Paul to describe what you and I are up against. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. These are not the underlings. These are the rulers against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm just saying this, fellas. This is the evil day, and if you and I don't want to fall, if we don't want to be caught by the predator, we're going to have to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. I believe God put this here to prevent casualties. You got a deceptive enemy in a spiritual battle in the evil day. Now you put that combination together. Spiritual enemy, deceptive enemy, spiritual battle in an evil day. There's a lot of traps out there for all of us.
Yes.
There's a lot of tricks.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, some of us get too close sometimes. We're too silly with some things, get too close to the trap.
Yep.
I don't know about you guys. I mean, y'all, maybe y'all think this will blow over. Maybe it will. It can get, you can talk so much about it that you can discourage people. Mm-hmm. Young people especially. Where they just like the Lord. Mm-hmm. These are serious times.
Yes, they are.
Serious times. There was one that clip that I watched of the Washington State governor talk about all that contact tracing and the number of people that they had trained who are committed to bringing order and strong enough to do it. What kind of terminology is that? I really began to wonder if as a church, this guy, y'all remember the Bundys that had the fight with the federal government some years ago? Be careful before you throw people like that under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Not everybody that's portrayed as extreme is.
Amen. Yeah.
I would not make a Goresh fan, but they murdered those people.
That's right.
They murdered the Weavers out there at Ruby Ridge.
Yep.
That's all they forgot about. That's all Janet Reno Bill Clinton era.
Right.
But the Bundy was Mr. The Boy, forget his first name, was the guy that put this clip out. And he talked about joining a nationwide network. I didn't join. What's a nationwide network and a profit? I didn't think it would be a part of that. But it did make me wonder if the Men of Faith Baptist Church, if we shouldn't have some kind of plan someday in case this thing goes up in smoke real quick. I suppose it does. I mean, I'm telling you, it's serious. To me, it's as serious as it's ever been.
Yep.
You tell me. It took over how many city blocks?
Four.
Six. Of a downtown major city. Took it over. What, even let the police in there? What? So I was just praying, Lord, what do I want to do with these men for several weeks until we get out of this remodel and back over to Elizabeth Service? And you know, the phrase that came, maybe I'm thinking too much about it, maybe I'm listening too much and watching. I don't watch the television, but I listen to the phone once in a while, I watch it too. Sometimes when I'm not exercising, I'll play something. And what came to my mind was, the evil day is here. It's here.
For sure.
And we want to be strong in the power of His might. Because I'm looking at cedar trees tonight. We don't need any cedar trees to fall. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Pray that you please bless the men in this room. Our huge responsibility rests on our shoulders. I think about the young men, those little children in their homes. I pray, God, that you please just encourage their hearts, encourage them in you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we look at these different pieces of armor that you have created for our defense and the weapons you've given us for offense. I pray, God, that we won't take it lightly. This is the evil day. It is here. As we head into the days right before the rapture, Lord, we believe it's coming soon. It's an evil day. And we will need to put on the whole armor of God. Bless these men. Build them up in your grace. Build them up in your mercy. God, help us all, please. We will thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.